My name is Hans Zimmer. I have for years lived in a cesspool called Hollywood, and I keep knocking out movie scores one after the other because I keep having new ideas. That's what I do, and that's what I've done all my life, and I hope I carry on doing it. I think my experience with the film originally was... they were shooting in Chicago, and I think they just started shooting, and I got a phone call from Ron or his producer, Richard Lewis, that said, would I come to Chicago and look at something? And I went there, and they... I don't think they had actually started doing anything yet, really. All they had was they had, you know, some stock footage of fire, and they put a piece of Black Rain against it. And Ron kept saying, in the nice, quiet, subtle way he says it, I think this is really emotional. And I think this is sort of the thing we should do. So now, fast forward 2 years later, you know, I'm sitting in front of the film, sitting in front of the fires. And Ron keeps saying, you know, no, make the fires more emotional. And I keep, you know, turning up, you know, the VP strings, thinking he can't mean this, he can't mean this, because I completely forgot about that thing he showed me in Chicago. And we nearly got completely derailed there for a second. There were quite a few moments where we got nearly completely derailed. I think the forces were against me. Like, for instance, the first set of tunes I wrote, I had to go out to New York to play him, and he, myself, and Brian Grazer are in this limo, and I can't remember where we're going, but we're going somewhere. And, you know, Ron goes, oh, you got those tunes on you? And I'm going, yeah, I got them on a cassette. Oh, look, there's a cassette player in the limo. So I bung the cassette in there, and the cassette player instantly eats the tape, you know? So it's like, oh, well, you know, that's the only copy I had. Well, I might have to go all the way back to get the, you know. So that was a bit of a wasted trip. But I couldn't make head or tail of what he was saying to me for the longest time. And that we had a music supervisor called Becky Mancuso, who literally one night, I think Ron had phoned her, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, going, Hans doesn't seem to get what I mean. Literally turned up in her, you know, in her nightie with a raincoat over it and said, now, dear, let me talk to you about, you know, what Ron means. Let me be the translator, because maybe it was me being European or whatever. You know, I just, he's the only director where we were forever talking past each other. You know, and then, like, the first big fire sequence, I remember this thing going on about it. It's not emotional, it's not emotional. And it was like 250 bars long or so. And finally, I remembered this Black Rain thing. You know, and that's Becky came over at 3 a.m. and said, you remember that thing you watched with the Black Rain thing? And the Black Rain thing, which I had actually thought wasn't that emotional, was just very straight and classical. That's what Ron had thought was emotional. So all I did in this 250 bar thing, I changed 13 bars, I remember. And it went from "you're fired" to "oh, this is great," you know. So much so that, you know, last year or so, we actually thought of working together again. You know, we sort of got over it. But no, plus, I am difficult because, you know, I will go and say, well, why can't we try this? Why don't we go over here? You know, just when somebody says everything is all right, I have to go off and come up with some ridiculous different idea and throw it all, you know, throw everything that we had away. You know, and I think a bit of that was happening too. Or just things not written until, you know, major things left unwritten until the very last moment. It was one of my early Hollywood epics, and I think Hollywood wasn't quite ready for the complete anarchy and messiness. I knew the main theme was relatively good. I thought it was okay. You know. Now everybody thinks, I mean, people whose opinion I really value, like John Powell, you know, whenever I'm like really down on myself, he goes, oh no, but what about that backdraft tune? That's pretty good. At the time, you know, I was always thinking, oh, maybe I need to do better. That's why, in a way, it's a very confusing score, because it never quite sits still with its themes. Plus, it, you know, there was like a, you know, big, you know, well, it's a tidy intellectual thought, but it seemed like a big thought to me at the time that, you know, there was the brothers theme and then there was the fireman's theme, and right at the end of it, you know, it would all come together in a great counterpoint sort of symphonic whatever, you know. I was young, you know, you're pretentious when you're young. One thing which I thought was really cool about it was, I don't know, we were sitting in some restaurant and talking about, you know, who our influences are. And I said, well, you know, one of the first jobs I ever had was for George Martin. And they all went, ooh, George Martin? Do you mean the Beatles, George Martin? I said, yeah, you know. And Richard said, do you think he'd come in and mix the score? I said, well, I can give him a ring. You know, I phoned him and said, George, fancy a bit of sunshine. I think it was the middle of winter, and you know, in London. You know, fancy mixing the score for me. And sure, dear boy, I'll be right over. And that was great. You know, George came over. You know, I'd go over to where he's mixing. I'd say, you know, but George, you know, like my Minimoog thing, I don't hear it. In fact, I think you forgot to put it in. He goes, yes, it's better like that. Okay, you know, it's like, I mean, that sort of stuff is great, you know. It's like, you know, he came at it with a point of view, and I was never going to argue with him about it, you know. Nor was anybody else, of course. The action was so hard. It's just action, I think, is always hard, especially, see, after I did Black Rain, I thought I developed a really cool and interesting action style, which I should move forward on and carry on developing. And I thought, this is my style, right? You know, that's what I can do. What I didn't know was that as soon as a movie like that comes out, everybody else copies your style. You know, hey, if you do something new, you're going to find it in 75 movies that come after you. So by the time you want to go and actually use your own style again and sort of develop it a bit, you can't do it because it's like old hat, because it really is old hat, because everybody else has been cribbing from it. God. You see, I don't think I'm that good at action. I've done a lot of action-y movies. I think I'm really bad at it. I think like Alan Silvestri is amazing at it. You know, Predator or those sort of scores, or Jerry Goldsmith or any of those guys, or John Williams. I think they're amazing at it. I think I'm really bad at it. I suppose that's why occasionally I take on another action movie, because I want to see if I can't get a bit better at it. What really was helpful on Backdraft was, you know, the sound design team up at Skywalker, they were so great. They would phone me and say, well, this is what we're doing here. Or they'd send things over, you know, because part of the thing is this, you know, it's this sort of eternal battle between sound design and music, usually in these action scenes. And we actually, I think we had a really easy dub because everybody knew their place, you know. This is where Hans can make noise. This is where Gary, you know, from Skywalker can make noise. And they were really responsible. If they had, you know, if they had room tones and stuff, as they'd go, our room tones are in F sharp, you know, and you'd go, oh, right, okay. So you'd know which bits to, you know, which keys to write in. I mean, that was great. What I enjoyed writing were the sort of emotional bits. I remember absolutely hating writing the action-y bits. Absolutely, you know, I still remember that I had a 24-minute queue in this thing, you know, which went across reels, and you know, I still remember what the tempo of the last bar before it changes reel was, because you know, you didn't want it to sort of in the next reel, you didn't want it to feel like you'd lost your tempo or something like that.